Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, Superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello all, it is I, TFG and Mike, here inside the pull bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network, and from episode 553 to 561, this is the Skybound section. That's right, all of these episodes that you're going to be hearing, including this clip, in front of every single one of them, is stuff from another comic review with Jesse Early and myself. We've already published all these over on that show for him, and now we are syndicating them here for the pullbag. These are completely unaltered, unedited episodes. So there you go. Make your great escape into comics and enjoy the show.
Yo, Joe! Hey everyone, just an editor's note before we get to the episode. I do make mention several times of the digital version of the Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe 2024 special not being available digitally until June. This was after Amazon had originally posted it for a release in May, and then changed the release date as we approached that to sometime in June. As it turns out, they did end up releasing it here in May, so as you'll see in the episode, I talk about the fact that it was delayed several times, but I just want to make note that as of recording and release of this episode, the digital version of that Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe special is available to purchase digitally. So you can get that. And if you don't have it yet, you did miss out on the physical copy, highly recommend purchasing that digital version. As you'll find out here in this episode, it reveals and sets up a lot of interesting things to come in the Energon universe. All right, so thank you, and sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and I do not have TFG1 Mike with me on this episode. I am flying solo, and the reason for that is he does not have this particular issue yet, and I didn't want to wait too long to record this, so I'm covering it now. Sorry, Mike, you'll have to catch up at some point. So in this episode, we are covering the Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe 2024 special. Now, I do want to say that, so this came out on Free Comic Book Day, which was May 4th. So that was 3 days ago as of me recording this. And again, that was Saturday, May 4th. And the only way to get this particular issue was to actually go on Free Comic Book Day, or you could have ordered the actual physical issue online. I was seeing that some people were able to purchase this a little bit early by getting it on eBay. And I think on Reddit is where I saw this. Someone actually had the issue like a week and a half before its actual release. So if you're interested in picking this up, you didn't get it on Free Comic Book Day, you can check out eBay. I believe there are some retailers out there that are selling the physical copy as well. And I think you could get this from Image Comics or Skybound, one of those two. I don't remember which site specifically it was you could order it from, but I believe that they were selling it direct as well. Now, Mike did share with me a link to the Amazon Comics or Comixology section of Amazon, where it looks like you can also purchase the digital version of this release that was set to come out tomorrow, actually, along with Transformers number 8. However, I checked this evening, and it looks like they've actually pushed back the release, the digital release of this Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe 2024 special all the way to June. So, again, if you don't have the physical copy, you can order it a couple of different places online. You can get this digitally. It will be coming out in June. I don't know that I would wait that long, because I feel like if you do, you're going to run into spoilers. And especially if you're listening to this show, you're probably going to run into these spoilers sooner rather than later. So so that's what I would recommend, is if you're following the Energon universe at all, definitely pick up the physical copy until the digital copy comes out. And then if you've been reading these comics digitally, you'll probably purchase that as well. All right, so this Energon Universe 2024 special is actually broken up into three different stories. So this covers pretty much everything that we've seen in the Energon Universe so far. So the three stories are Transformers, Void Rivals, and G.I. Joe. So I'm going to run through each one of these, give you a quick synopsis of each, give you my thoughts and review of each one. So just word of caution, word of warning right now, I'm going to be spoiling this. So if you don't have this issue, you don't want to be spoiled, I would suggest turning this off now and wait until you actually have it before coming back and listening to this episode. Okay, so that was my warning. So I am diving into this now. All right, so if you have seen the physical copy of this 2024 Free Comic Book Day special, you'll note that it has a Megatron on the cover. So pretty safe bet that we're going to see Megatron in here. And yep, we do. So the comic opens with our Transformers story. And this was by Daniel Warren Johnson. So again, same writer that we've had throughout all of Transformers up to this point. We have Ryan Ottley, who is the artist. We have Annalisa Leone, who's the colorist. And of course, we have our buddy Russ, who is doing the lettering. So we open with Megatron attacking the Autobot Ark, which is flying in space above Earth. He single-handedly takes out Autobots left and right, blasting a hole right through Brawn, which is like pretty much straight out of, Transformers the movie. Prime and Megatron battle it out, and Prime slices off Megatron's right arm with fusion cannon using his Energon axe. Stunned, Megatron is kicked backwards by Prime, who nearly flies out of the door in the Ark, but manages to grab onto the edge. Starscream, who is hiding in the shadows, sees Megatron clinging on for life and blasts him with his own null ray, knocking Megatron out of the Ark, leaving him to fall to Earth below. We cut to some point in the future where Megatron awakens and cries out for Starscream, as we see that his right eye is gone and not functional. Now armless, Megatron breaks free and threatens to kill one of the captors unless they tell him where his arms are. The captor gestures to a door after exclaiming that they only have one arm, not both. Megatron kicks the door in to discover his left arm. Megatron bends down to his arm, which sort of self-reattaches and fixes itself to his own body. The Cobra Law guards spring into action, a few of them riding giant beasts, and try to quell Megatron's uprising. Megatron takes them all on and manages an escape, but not before his only functional eye is also destroyed. With no functional optics and only one arm, we close with Megatron high up in the mountains, exclaiming that he is coming for Starscream. Alright, so my thoughts and review. So, again, this was written by Daniel Warren Johnson, so we're familiar with Daniel Warren Johnson at this point. He's written everything Transformers up to this point in the Energon universe, so there isn't much of a surprise here. What I will say, though, is that this particular story in this issue is very light on the actual word bubbles. So, even though Daniel Warren Johnson wrote it, there isn't much to say here with regards to what, you know, the characters are actually saying. A lot of what is told here is done through visual. So it's mostly visual storytelling. As you go from panel to panel here, it's a lot of action to kick things off. And as Megatron kind of comes to, there's a lot of action involving his escape. The artwork here, again, the artwork is by Ryan Ottley, who we've not seen do any Transformer comics up to this point. The art, I would say, does not fall in line with Jorge Coronas, who is the current artist on Transformers, or Daniel Warren Johnson, right, who had done everything up to the point that Jorge had taken over. The art isn't bad, I will say that, but it's just completely, in my opinion, it's completely different than what we've seen from the other two artists up to this point. To me, it feels almost a little bit more cartoony in some cases. In other instances, I would say not so much, but it definitely has a different feel and tone to it. I think it still falls in line with Transformers. Like, the artwork itself still looks good for what Transformers should look like, but I don't think it's on par with what we've seen for Transformers up to this point, right? I would say this artwork is less gritty. It's a little bit more flashy. It's certainly a lot more colorful than what I'd say we've seen in the past. And I think it's just not having that gritty edge is sort of a turnoff to me, because that's really the kind of the standout thing that, in my opinion, we've seen in the new Transformers series here so far. But again, not bad. I think it works. It looks good. There are a few oddly drawn characters in here. Like, there's a page with, it's like a two-page spread here where it's got Megatron and Optimus fighting. And the way that Optimus is drawn, it just looks a little weird to me. Like, it's almost like super deformed in some aspect. And I'm not a big fan of the way that looks, because, again, we lose sort of that grittiness. But again, it works. It's not terrible. It's just not my cup of tea. But going to the story, we finally learn kind of where Megatron's been, right? So we saw that in Cobra Commander, that he was in Cobra Law. He was in Cobra Commander's lab. But here we see that he's still locked up in Cobra Law. He comes to, he's able to break free from his captors and is able to bust out of there. I'm curious to see what happens now that he can't see. he does have an arm back. And how is he going to go about finding the rest of the Transformers, considering he can't really see anything? This does answer one of my longstanding questions that I know I've brought up on this show before, and that is, are these really taking place at the same point in time? And it appears that they are. Right at the end of one of the Transformer comics early on, we saw that Megatron was like frozen and encased in ice. Well, that was obviously him after he fell out of the Ark. He landed or crash landed and he got frozen in the mountains. Obviously, he was found in the mountains by someone in Cobra Law. They brought him back. He's been in Cobra Commander's lab ever since. And now we see him breaking out here. And when we last saw him in Cobra Commander, right, he had no limbs, or he had no arms, rather. He still had his legs, but he had no arms. And here we find out that, okay, yeah, they did remove his left arm. It's in a room across from where he's at, and he's able to reattach his own arm. And we know where the other arm is, right? It's presently attached to Optimus Prime. So I imagine at some point in the near future, he'll be wanting that arm back. So yeah, I think this was a great way to reintroduce everyone to Megatron and who he is. He's, you know, seemingly been almost talked about in every issue so far, but they sort of just stopped short from saying his name. So I think this was great. And I'm really curious to see where things go from here. The last panel for this story says, to be continued in Transformers. Don't know how far into the future that will take place. But I think now that we know that he's alive and we know that this is taking place at the same time that Transformers is taking place, I would imagine that it's going to be somewhat soon. All right, so I think that's everything I've got to say about Transformers. All right, so let's move into story number two, which is Void Rivals. This was written by Robert Kirkman. The art was done by Lorenzo De Felici. The color was done by Matthias Lopez, and of course, the lettering was done by our buddy Russ. So, the quick synopsis. We open with Skuxoid being held at gunpoint by Slizardo, asking where the alloy is that he was carrying. Skuxoid explains that he ran into the Quintessons and that they took it. Not happy with the progress of the questioning, a familiar Transformer emerges from the shadows, Hot Rod, who was trying to use Slizardo to get the information he wanted. Hot Rod explains that he is tracking an ally of his who is obsessed with an old Cybertronian legend, thinking it would lead him to saving Cybertron. Skuxoid provides all the details and coordinates of the spaceships and alloys from his past encounters, and Hot Rod goes on his way. We close with the robot overhearing the entire conversation and reporting back to someone that they refer to as, quote, my lord. All right, so my thoughts on the Void Rivals story here. So, unlike the Transformers story, which, again, was very short in terms of word bubbles, was still somewhat lengthy for the actual story, the Void Rivals one here is 6 pages, and in reality, it should just be 5, because our very first page here is really just a large image of Skuxoid, just saying 1, 2, 3, 4. He just says 6 words in one bubble there, so I don't really count that as a page. So really, the meat of the story here is really 5 pages long. I was not expecting to see a Transformer show up, or at the very least, I wasn't expecting to see a Transformer show up that we have not been introduced to in Transformers or G.I. Joe at this point. It seems odd to me that they would do that in a, you know, a free comic book day comic. But hey, they did, and I'm there to take it in. So yeah, so Hot Rod, he looks like Hot Rod. He's drawn fantastically. Colors are dead on accurate for Hot Rod. And the biggest question I have coming out of this, Skuxoid and Slizardo are really just there to give us a little bit of backstory about the alloy. And really, it's just a way to pave the introduction into Hot Rod here. But what I'm curious to know about Hot Rod is who the ally is that he is searching for. Now, when I read that, my mind immediately went to, oh, it's probably Springer. And I don't know that it isn't Springer. They may be talking about a completely different character at this point. But my guess is it's probably Springer. Because again, Springer is like, right, he's off planet, not on Cybertron. He's not with the rest of the Autobots, you know, who crash landed on Earth. He, as we know, he's going to be showing up in the next issue of Void Rivals. And my guess is that that's who Hot Rod here is trying to track down. Now, why he's trying to track him down, I don't know. We don't get that information here. It just says, I am tracking an ally of mine who has gone missing. He was obsessed with an old Cybertronian legend, thinking it would lead him to some way of saving our world. I need to find him. Are you going to help me, or are you going to stand in my way? So, again, I don't know why he's trying to find whoever this ally is, but now I'm very curious, and I'm hoping that it is Springer, because I would like to see Hot Rod and whoever Hot Rod may be, you know, with at this moment in time, kind of show up in Void Rivals, and then see how that translates into tying in with Transformers. Again, we close here with some robot reporting to, you know, quote unquote, my lord, whoever it is that they're talking to there. But obviously, probably one of the main villains within Void Rivals is who this robot's reporting to. I think sooner rather than later, we're going to be seeing Cybertronians more and more within Void Rivals, and I'm here for it. So I'm ready. I'm anxious. And yeah, I think overall, the art for Void Rivals, for the Void Rivals story, I should say, is on par mostly with what we see in the Void Rivals comics. I do think the pain here, the last pain on page two, I'm not quite sure what happened to the art there, because like the background looks fine, the setting looks fine, but it's our main characters here, Slizardo and Skuxoid, they just look like they're terribly drawn. It's like we lost like all detail, and I'm not quite sure what happened there, but the rest of the artwork looks fine. Like I said, Hot Rod here looks fantastic in my opinion. And I'm very curious to see him show up in Transformers, or at the very least see him continue to show up in Void Rivals. Because if he's drawn like this going forward, it looks fantastic. On page page four of the story here, where he's first introduced, it's like it's very detailed. He looks fantastic. The colors are dead on. It looks great. It doesn't have that Daniel Warren Johnson grittiness to it. But it's an art style that really works for Transformers. So I think the artwork here for the way the Hot Rod is drawn works far better for Transformers than what we got in the Transformers story itself. So I wish it would have been drawn like this in Transformers, in the Transformers story. But unfortunately, it wasn't. And we'll all live. So all right. So that's it for Void Rivals. So let's round out the episode here with discussion of story number three. All right, so the G.I. Joe story here. This is by Joshua Williamson, Jason Howard, Mike Spicer, and our buddy Russ. So my synopsis here. So we open almost immediately after Duke number 5 with Duke in Hawk's office and Hawk berating Duke about the Baroness joining the team. While talking about, while it's a bad decision and Duke explaining why it's not, we see Baroness out and about walking the streets where she's attacked by what appears to be a male and female cyber ninja. Duke rides in on a motorcycle to save her, and we cut to some point in the future with Duke flying a large plane with a Baroness inside suiting up. After asking if she's in or if she would rather spend her life behind bars, Baroness proclaims, "Yo, Joe," as we see her suited up in G.I. Joe gear. We cut to Hawk looking at various file folders containing all of the G.I. Joe characters from Duke 1 through 5, along with Scarlet and Destro, you know, the next set of upcoming miniseries. The Dreadnoughts and a folder with the Autobot symbol on it. We close with the two ninja characters who had attacked Baroness walking into the room and removing their helmets. They're revealed to be Flint and Lady J. Hawk reveals that while the intent was to recruit Baroness with Flint and Lady J, that the end result is the same and that she now has a bond with Duke, and that they are working to put together not one, but two teams. Alright, so my thought and review on this one. So, again, the art here is different from what we saw in the Duke miniseries, which is not a bad thing. I think the artwork here, in my opinion, actually works better than what we had in the entirety of the Duke miniseries. I still think that Duke is drawn a little weird here in most of the panels that he's in. I still feel like they're not like capturing the essence of like Duke's face. Like if you look at the Sunbow cartoon, like that to me, like that's Duke. And it's, maybe it's because, right, I'm a child of the 80s and I grew up at that time period. And even though I did not watch much of the G.I. Joe series, like that's the image that I have of Duke in my mind. And just for whatever reason, they don't seem to capture it quite as well as what that is. Even if you look at the G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero series, which I know is not part of the Energon universe, like they capture the essence of Duke in any time that I see him in that. And it's grittier, but that to me is, it's along the same lines of what we see in the Sunbow cartoon, at least in this new iteration of A Real American Hero. Right now that it's jumped over to Skybound Image Comics. So the story here, recruiting Baroness to be on the G.I. Joe team. I did not see that one coming. I don't know if this, right, how long this is going to last, but we do see her suited up entirely in G.I. Joe gear. She's wearing red, white, and blue. Whatever the suit is, it's got red, white, and blue stripes on it. There's this large star on her chest here. And at least at the moment, by the end of this story, she appears to be on Team G.I. Joe. So, I mean, also at this point in time, right, there is no Cobra that we're aware of. Because, again, Cobra Commander number 5 is not out. Hasn't ended yet. Don't know where that's going to go. But at this point in time, there is no, quote-unquote, Cobra for anyone to lead. So she can't quite join that yet. But at the moment, she appears to be on Team G.I. Joe. What I find interesting here is at the end of this issue, in what Hawk is talking about here, and that they're looking to create more than one team. And I don't know what that means. Like, I'm not quite sure why he's wanting to create multiple teams of characters. But at least at the moment, it looks like Flint and Lady J are not part of the G.I. Joe team that Duke is putting together. They appear to be something completely separate. And not quite sure who else is going to be joining that team. We have no other information here at this point in time. But I do find it interesting that there's going to be multiple teams. And I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. And obviously, the one panel here that shows Scarlet. Again, that's really more of a promotion for the upcoming miniseries of both Scarlet and Destro. But I'm curious to see kind of what team she ultimately ends up on. And then the last thing here to kind of note is that this story ends with to be continued in not the Scarlet miniseries, not the Destro miniseries, but it says to be continued in G.I. Joe. And I don't know if that's a verification that we are officially getting an ongoing G.I. Joe comic series within the Energon universe, or if that's just, hey, anything that's a miniseries that encompasses these characters just kind of falls under the umbrella of G.I. Joe. I'm hoping that once these miniseries are done, that this is we're going to see an ongoing series of G.I. Joe, and that maybe this is a confirmation of that. Because again, we have G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, not part of the Energon universe at all. But I would think at some point we're going to get an ongoing G.I. Joe series that is going to be part of this, especially since with how Duke number 5 ended, and that we know he's trying to put together a team, which again we see here, right? He's recruited the Baroness, and he's apparently going after Optimus Prime or the Transformers at large, but you know, Optimus Prime more specifically, because that's who we saw. That was the photo that he saw at the end of Duke number 5. Again, I'm hoping for an ongoing G.I. Joe. I'm kind of over these miniseries. I will be purchasing Destro. I will be purchasing Scarlet. But I am kind of over them, and I would like them to just kind of jump into an ongoing G.I. Joe. I'm hoping that's what all this leads up to, and I'm hoping that what we have here is a confirmation that that's going to happen. So, but we'll see. We'll find out. And yeah, that sort of wraps up the Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe 2024 special. I think for this being a free issue, that there is a lot of things that happen in here. There's a lot of setup for things to come. And if you do not have this and you have not read it, I feel like you're going to be missing out as we continue through the the ongoing series here. So I highly suggest picking this up. Again, I would track down the physical copy, because the sooner you read it, the less you're going to be spoiled. And if you want to pick up the digital version, like I said, it's going to be coming out here, according to Amazon, sometime in June. So, all right. So, yeah, that's it. Overall, I really enjoyed the entire thing, and I'm really happy that I picked it up. So, all right. So, plugs. Wherever you're getting this podcast, I hope you are liking and leaving reviews. That would be fantastic. If you're not, if you could please do so, that would help us out immensely. You can also find us on anothercomicreview.com. That is our website. You can find me on YouTube. I'm at youtube.com/matrix_prime. We are also on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at Another Comic Review. If you do have any sort of feedback for us, follow us on Instagram and shoot us a message on there. We don't have an email address set up at the moment, but I would love to hear from our listeners out there, kind of your thoughts on the Energon Universe so far in general. And then if you have any questions, comments for our podcast, that would be fantastic as well. And yeah. If you want to find me on Blue Sky, I'm also on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Early, E-A-R-L-E-Y. You can find me on there. And yeah, I think that's it. All right, so coming up next, we have Transformers number 8. That will be releasing very shortly, and we will be reviewing that. I'm really looking forward to that. And I want to see how this story continues to pan out. And now that Duke number 5 is wrapped up, we know that he's kind of gutting for the Transformers, or at the very least, you know, Optimus Prime more specifically, because that's who we saw in that photo at the end of Duke number 5. I want to see like how that kind of starts to play into the story, because I think we're going to kind of start to see those characters overlap with Transformers. So, all right, yeah, so that's it. So till next time, this is Jesse signing off.
Thank you for listening to The Pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network, which is featuring syndicated versions of Another Comic Review. Catch you next time. Make your greatest game into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.